Oops, looks like someone's getting a telling off. Getting out of the car park this evening is going to be a nightmare. Oh, there I am. The manager's office. Always under lock and key. I'd love to see for myself. Strange for someone to be in today. What's wrong, Dan? She shifted in the cold metal chair. The puddle of urine had soaked into her skirt, casting up the stench of ammonia with every movement. Her wrists sent a sharp slice of pain through her nerve endings as the bindings cut further into her flesh. On, off, on, off. The light sequence began again. Emily closed her eyes. Her throat tightened as she sobbed, but no tears came. She was dry. Wept out, pissed out, sweated out, dry as a bone with nothing left to give. Drip, drip, drip.
Hello and welcome to podcast number one. I'm your guest host, Hope, and today we're going to be talking about the common problems with baby chickens and how to overcome them. Let's get straight into it, shall we?
This is not, as well she knows, an accurate summary of Elsa's remarks, and as if to compensate, my mother throws her left hand towards me, finds my fingers, and squeezes hard. What we really meant to say was how beautiful you're looking tonight, just beautiful. She smiles, eyes bright with sudden sincerity. She presses my hand again, gazes first at me, and then at Elsa, as if checking there is no trail of explosive between us that is about to ignite in her absence. I'd better go and find your stepfather, she says, and is gone.
His thin, fair hair stuck to his wet forehead, making him resemble an action man figure.
Mrs. Craneford, this is D.I. Hart. Mrs. Craneford looked after the baby until the emergency services arrived. The paramedic stated that the baby is suffering from hypothermia and a low pulse rate, D.S. Driscoll said.
Oh, that poor baby was freezing. What an awful state of affairs. There's an old guy in our house. He found the baby and knocked at our door. Frantic he was. He's not in a fit state for much, though. Seems in shock. My daughter's making him a cuppa.
He was frowning so hard that his chin was invisible, and he had an imperious wig. Eventually, the conversation between Gregor and the judge ended, and the judge declared to all,
"Let's get this session started, then, shall we? The town against Baron Seth on the matter of the Hope Springs River. We'll start with some opening remarks by the prosecution, represented by our own Baron Gregor."
"Thank you," Gregor told the judge. "Thank you." "Hope Springs," he said, "surely got its name from somewhere. Allow me to speculate. It's because we used to be a beacon of hope to other cities and to humanity as a whole at some long-forgotten time in the past. What could have gone so wrong that we ended up here as we are? I have an answer. Some greedy, clutching man of this despicable Baron Seth."
"See here!"
Baron Seth cried in a frog-like voice.